there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
Now we're going to continue through the book of Acts. I'm going to preach all the way through the book of Acts. Not today. So let me just read Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41. Now remember, this is after the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit. They get on the rooftop, they're speaking in languages that different people understand them in their own hearing. A miraculous thing took place. And now Peter gives the first gospel sermon. So hear now the word of God in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day," which would have been 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.' Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his words were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, Peter speaks of you dwelling in the hearts of those who believe. A supernatural, awesome occurrence of the injection of the Holy Spirit into our hearts through the plan of the Father and the work of Christ. It's a Holy Spirit in our walk here on earth to teach us, to give us wisdom, to comfort us, to give us peace. And we know that you will speak to us today on your holy word, that you will guide our thoughts and declare to us in perfection the voice of God in our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we may walk the footsteps of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church needs to focus outwards and not inwards. The church is never meant to focus inwards. It's to focus inward as we gather today to go outward. The prime directive is to be the church everywhere you go. To come to be encouraged and exhorted with the word of God in your heart. And to leave to take the light of Christ out to others. That's what the whole book of Acts is all about. And that's in these first two chapters of Acts is what we see is the beginning of what is going to happen with the church 2,000 years ago. And because of what has occurred 2,000 years ago, think about it. We're sitting here right now. It's amazing. That's amazing. When I think of Peter's first sermon, it was filled with deep theology. As this fledgling church was starting, as the Holy Spirit descended and was now in the hearts of believers. And Peter gives this first sermon. It's quite amazing. This is a guy that if you follow him through the Gospels, he's an arrogant fellow. But yet he humbles himself. He's self-focused and he's God-focused. He's afraid and he's bold. He's faithless and he's faithful. He's allegiant at times and he's denying at times. And he was restored as chief apostle. Huddled in the upper room somewhere in Jerusalem, The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples with miraculous power, and Peter suddenly delivers this theology in a first sermon of good news of the gospel to 3,000 or more visiting Jews on Pentecost, and the church was birthed. Peter's sermon in this whole thing really is four parts. I mean, he gives an affirmation of the gospel message from the Old Testament, from prophecy, and especially Joel and in the Psalms. He speaks of Jesus' resurrection, which was proclaimed. He speaks of Jesus as both Lord and Messiah, the anointed one and the Lord, the King of the universe. And he gives a call to repentance. Those four things. And so Peter reminds his Jewish crowd. He's a Jewish crowd. Now remember, the apostles were all Jews. He has a Jewish crowd sitting in front of him. All of this, you know, strange supernatural occurrence takes place. And Peter reminds his crowd of the prophecy of Joel. Peter explains how this crazy phenomena happens where they can hear these words, and he says, "These men aren't drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day." And he recites the prophecy of Joel concerning the last days, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. "And it shall be in the last days," God says, "that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind." And the prophecy of Joel. One of the last words that Jesus said when he was on the cross, if you remember, three little words, important words. He said, "It is finished." This proclamation, this whole buildup of Genesis to Malachi was all about the anointed one who would come, the Messiah, HaMashiach in Hebrew. Christos in Greek, Christ as we know it. The Old Testament speaks of this Christ who would come and bring salvation. His work was to lead this perfect life, to be obedient to his Father, to be the perfect and unblemished sacrifice on the cross for our sins, that his blood was shed for us so that we who believe may be forgiven and brought together as the family of God. That was the work of Christ. And he says it is finished. And so now the church is birthed. Christ dies. He is buried. He's resurrected from the dead. He speaks with 500 or more people in the course of 40 days. He ascends into heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes down into the apostles. And those who believe, the disciples, a miraculous language barrier is broken. It's the last days. Not the last days, the end of time. The last days from the work of Christ. The work of Christ is now beginning, and the church is birthed. See, Christ has been made manifest at the end of times. And his followers, they have no more, there's no more need to search and inquire what person or time this prophetic spirit pointed to, for they know that the person is Jesus and the time is now. The last days began with the appearance on earth and will be consummated by Christ's reappearance. That's what he's talking about here. And so when Joel says these words of prophecy centuries before Jesus, perhaps he hearkened back to Moses, who said, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." than he has. And Joel declares that in these last days it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He delivers a message of salvation to this Jewish crowd through the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, it's the same power that we have for those who believe in Jesus. It's the same power, the Spirit that hovered over the face of the earth when the universe was created. That same powerful Spirit. Peter declares the death and resurrection of Jesus. He talks about why did this all happen. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God, with miracles, wonders, signs that God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, he says. Delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, and then you nailed him to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. And since it was impossible for him to be held in its power, impossible because he is the author of life. So in these short three verses, Peter sums up God's plan and the work of Christ. The prophetic words of Psalm 16, "My flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay." The salvation then spoken of by the prophet Joel is focused on the work of Christ and his victory over death, and his new life. And at the very start of the church, the beating heart of these people who heard and believed was the gospel message, was understanding the work of Jesus. Peter explains the prophecy of David in Psalm 16, Jesus, Lord and Messiah. He explains that the grave could not hold Messiah. He explains the prophecy and shows Jesus as the fulfillment, exalted and poured out to the witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this, the Holy Spirit, which you both see and hear. Holy Spirit power is now beyond the Holy of Holies in the temple. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain of the temple? The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies. This is important because that was the symbolic presence of God to the Jewish community. That curtain, which was 4 inches thick and roughly 60 feet high, a huge, big, thick, heavy curtain, was ripped in two from top to bottom. And that was symbolic of what? That now you don't have to go to the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God. The presence of God dwells in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole thing. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of salvation. It's the message that Peter delivered this day. The curtain that separated ordinary men and women from the presence of God is now obsolete, and its purpose is finally fulfilled. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Peter brings to them conviction from the Holy Spirit that this Jesus whom you crucified, that he was the perfect sacrifice. Now, the crowd is pierced to the heart. They hear Peter's words. They hear about this work of Christ. They hear that he was the Son of God. They hear that God did all of this. They hear he died on the cross, buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. The power of the Spirit comes upon those who believe. And the crowd of people there who heard this, whose hearts were drawn to this message, you know, they could have walked away, and I'm sure some of them did. They could have scoffed and just said, crazy. But there were at least 3,000 people there who listened, whose hearts were drawn to God, whose hearts were pierced. And they said in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted, knowing the need of someone to save them. And I can't help but to imagine Peter, who's delivering this message. And remember when he was in the boat and Jesus is walking on the water and Peter stands up and says, Lord, I want to come to you. And Jesus says, yes, come to me. And he starts walking on the water and he sinks. And Jesus says, you have little faith. And as Peter is sinking under the water and his hand is lifted up and he cries, save me! Is that imagery going through Peter's mind when he says this? Is he conveying to them the need of a Savior? Peter said to them, repent! I mean, change your mind. Change what you're doing. Change your understanding of the Old Testament. It's not Pharisaical. It's not from the Sadducees. It's not from Greek rendering or philosophy. It's from the Old Testament. And it is about the work of Christ who died on the cross and saved you from your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, he says. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The solution is simple. Turn from your worldly ways. Repent. And as a public profession of your inward confession, be baptized as you profess your newfound faith in the one and only Savior of souls, and your sins are forgiven. Not only that, but you will receive the Holy Spirit of God who will dwell in you. It's a sign of your faith in Christ. And you're bonding to Christ in unity, and you're bonding to the body of Christ here together, all of us together, the church. So then, he says in verse 41, those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added 3,000 souls. The Holy Spirit comes upon and in Jesus' disciples with miraculous power. And Peter delivers deep theology in the first sermon of the gospel message of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this first sermon of good news to 3,000 visiting Jews on Pentecost initiated the birth of the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the resounding, powerful message of these first two chapters of the book of Acts. It's why we have baptisms today. It's why we stand up here and profess our faith. It's why we're here today, believers in Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, my prayer goes up to you, Lord. You have extended just unbelievable grace to your people. You pour out that which we don't deserve, and you give it freely to those who simply believe. It's such a simple message, yet hard for those who don't believe to acknowledge. Hard for those who don't believe to acquiesce to your power. But we who believe know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Holy Spirit, you speak to us on all things about God. You show us God all around us. We are the body of Christ, the living, breathing body of Christ, the church, called to go out and give to others that which you infected us with, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, the message of salvation, to be contagious to those around us and to spread your word and your gospel message. So give us that amazing power that only you can do. By your grace we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, only through God. In Jesus' name we pray, all of God's children say.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.